So we've been talking about prayer, and prayer is really the promises of God. That's what prayer is, because we were sharing with you several weeks ago that when you pray, you just don't want to pray, gimme, gimme, gimme. God, I need a new car, I need a hot water tank, I need a house. What you do is you pray the word, because the Bible says he looks over his word to perform it. Amen? The Bible says he knows what we have need of before we ask, which means he knew when your hot water tank was going to go out before you owned the house that you bought it, that it was going out on. He knows everything. So he already knows, but he's looking for us to ask God, your word says, and then when we say the word back to him, say prayer. Is saying God's word back to him. Say it out loud, saying God's word back to him. Not about the trouble we're in and how we got there and everything. Look, Nick, thank you so much. Amen. Wow. Thank you for your agreement in prayer for the Zoom call to Pakistan. Greetings, dear pastor and Harvest Church. What an awesome time. Many souls were saved and gave their hearts to the Lord. What a time. 103 were saved and many healings took place. There were many people standing outside because of COVID fears, but the Lord did many miracles. One person was having heart problems, and the doctor said he would need an operation. The Lord healed him. When he had his checkup, all his reports were clear. He received his healing. One boy was unable to hear from one ear, and the Lord healed him, and he gave his heart to the Lord. He got his healing and started hearing properly, praise God. A total of 91 testimonies took place. Many people were healed from different types of pains. Amen? And I remember having a word as I was sharing about somebody's heart. Didn't know there was somebody there, but I heard that very clear and distinctly. So I'm glad, Harvest Church, you've made an investment in souls. We may never see that man or those folks ever, but when you get to heaven, listen to me, they're going to come running up to you and say, thank you. You're going to say, who are you? Thank you. All you have to hear is thank you. Amen? Because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, all right? So we've got a few minutes here, if you don't mind. If you want to turn, you don't have to, but Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, and then also verse 29. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. It does not say seeds. It says seed. That's very interesting. Say seed. The scripture doesn't say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person. Anybody have any idea who the one person would be? It's a man named Jesus Christ. One person who is Christ, my God. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now that's what the word says. Say the word says that. I think on Sunday I mentioned to you about holy and how important the word holy is. The word holy, because it goes along with what we're sharing, the word of God. The word holy means separated, consecrated, holy, sacred, or never to be regarded or used in a common way. So when we say the Bible, the word of God, I always do, the Lord has brought a little conviction on me and said that I ought to be also say holy, special, consecrated, set apart. There is not one book anywhere on the planet that can come close to the precious word of God. This is a holy book. This is a book with every single answer you and I will ever need for our walk through planet Earth. Amen? Now, if you want to go to another place, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 and verse 20, 19 through 20. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was preached among you by me, Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him, it's always been yes. For no matter how many promises are made, they are yes in Christ Jesus. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Say always says yes. Always. Always. Amen. Now, look at verse 20 again, if you don't mind. For this reason, we also utter amen. So be it. Say that out loud. So be it. To God through him. Who's the him? It's Jesus. His answer is yes in Christ. Our part through Christ is we utter the amen. So if his word says yes, the promises of God are yea and amen, are yea, their promises are true. What's our part? Saying amen, that we do what? We agree. amen means so be it. That means every promise, and there's over pretty close to 7,500 promises if you look for them, every promise that you and I hold dear and we speak out of our mouth, guess what? That says to God, those prayers are coming up to you. When I pray, I always make sure I pray scripture verse. My wife and I read scripture verses every morning. We read healing scriptures sometimes. Sometimes we read for salvation. But we always have the word coming out of our mouth because it's that important for God to hear what? Me saying what his word says. Also for you. It's also good for you and I. If I'm saying the word out loud, that builds me up. I don't know about you. How about you? Yes? It builds you up. Amen? So amen. Let's read this again. Amen means this. So be it. Another description of the same word is, may it become true. See, if we're saying it and believing it, then it's going to come true as soon as it comes out of our mouth in agreement by faith. Listen to another one. Amen is said after a statement which one agrees. So the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him should never perish, have everlasting life. That's a promise. Am I correct? Yes. As soon as I say amen, I'm making a statement that I agree with John 3:16. You see how easy it's put together? My God. Something broke in our house, a little angel, and I've been trying to find a glue that could actually make the thing stick. It's made out of metal. I've tried everything, and I finally found one. And I brought it to my wife last week as we're decorating the house a little bit. Remember? It was three angels, but one of them was busted. It was on my workbench for the longest time. I got tired of it. I can't do this. And then I found the glue. See, the word of God is like the glue that's missing. You can't fix something. You don't know why it's not working, but what you do is keep looking. All right? Let's go a little bit further. Say amen. Listen, I agree with the truth of God's word. That's another definition of amen. Say it out loud with me. I agree with the truth of God's word. May God's promises come true in my life. Every promise has the ability of coming true because God, like we said in the beginning, is watching over his word to make sure that it comes to pass. Amen. Amen? You understand that? Simple. But what happens many times we run into difficulties or calamities is that we talk more about the problems that we're going through and we negate the word and never speak it out of our mouth. I've done it many times. I probably did it a few times today. If we can train our spirit man, listen, train our spirit man to say the word before anything else is uttered and say, God, I'm holding up your word coming out of my mouth and I'm believing that you'll honor your word because your promises say they're yes and amen. Your promises say you'll always watch over your word to perform it. That's a powerful prayer because God is not a man that he should do what? That he should lie. Why not? He can't lie. It's an impossibility for him to lie. Listen to the scripture verse that I found in the Message Bible. I believe it's going to charge your spirit man. Fair enough? Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21 in the Message Bible. Abraham didn't tiptoe around God's promise. Abraham didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise, came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he said. Is that not the truth? Now, what did God ask Abraham to do? To go to a place that he had no idea where it was. He had no idea. It says in Romans what? He knew the architect and builder, but he didn't know what the building would look like or where it would be made. Amen? God's promises are always say yes and amen. If you'll think about it this way, Noah was told to build an ark because it was going to do what? It had never rained before. Rain wasn't a word. So when God spoke to Noah, build an ark because I'm going to let it rain, that would have stopped me right cold in my tracks. But when you're a man of faith, say a man of faith or a woman of faith, when God asks you to do something, you don't ponder around. You immediately jump into it because God, when he speaks, amen, to a godly man like Noah was, you know it's going to come to pass. Now, I heard one preacher say this, and I really believe this, that I believe Noah was probably a very wealthy person because there's no way he could have bought all that material, done all that he did, and took that long to build it, amen, if he wasn't having some kind of a resource available to him. First resource was, okay, God, Now, there was no Home Depot or some places like that, lumber yards, but we don't know that God didn't send some of the angels down and bring lumber. We have no idea. But it had never rained before. When Noah told the people, hey, what are you doing, Noah? I'm building an ark. Well, that's nice. What for? It's going to rain. You think they were laughing before? When you hear the voice of God, it may sound ridiculous, but God's word is always true. His promises are yes and amen. They will never, ever, 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 ever let us down. Say, never let us down. Can't let you down. How many of you have a prayer request right now in your heart? Anybody? Just raise your hand. God has already answered that prayer. How do I know? Because you find a scripture that fits. For instance, Acts says this, that he healed them all. Bible talks in Acts about what? That they took handkerchiefs and laid them, so Paul's shadow, a shadow is going to heal me. See, if the word tells me that, we've laid hands on handkerchiefs more than once when we've been preaching. Brother Ted will give them some handkerchiefs, put them in your pocket so the anointing of God will get on them. And we tell them to sew them inside the pillow of somebody because there's an anointing in the cloth. There's an anointing, hello, in his shadow. There's an anointing in you. When you walk into a room, whether it's well lit or it's dimly lit, and you portray a shadow, that shadow that you have can bring healing. Because once you pass by, say, once you pass by, a person around you is never, ever going to be the same. Say, never be the same. Say, the answer is never my problem. Say it again. The answer is never my problem. All right? So let's go over the scripture verse. You don't have to. Let me just read it for you because of time. 1 Samuel 17:45-47. David said to the Philistine, you come against me. I never saw this before. With a sword, a spear, and a javelin. So he was ready to fight. So I had my little granddaughter look up those words. A spear was a weapon with a long shaft and a pointed tip. A sword was a long blade used for cutting. The one that caught my eye was the javelin. It was a light spear, and it was designed to be thrown long range. It was a long range weapon. So Goliath had a long range weapon. He had one that he could do close combat with. Now listen to what David says. Now listen, this is powerful. But I come against you. Now wait a minute. Excuse me, David. Did you see what he's got? But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is already the Lord's. You see, David knew, even before he stepped out, the victory was already won. So you and I have to know, when we step into every single day is going to have a battle or so. There's going to be a skirmish. But we have to know, like David, who is this uncircumcised day, this uncircumcised problem, that what he was saying was, you don't have a covenant like I have a covenant with God. You and I walk in a blood covenant. Amen? When two people get married, that's the closest thing to a blood covenant on the planet, next to Jesus establishing one for you and I. It's a blood covenant, and that covenant is strong. The blood covenant established for David, the blood covenant is endearing. The blood covenant will take care of every problem. But listen now, it's a promise, and it's got to come out of our mouth so God can hear it, saying, that's one of my kids. I think God likes to brag on the block. Who else lives next door to him? I don't think anybody. I still think he likes to brag to the angels. Amen? That's one of my kids. Amen? We got who do we get a email from? Kevin? Thank you. A phone call from Kevin. We were training him up once when he was here years and years ago on the soundboard. He had some issues, so we sent him off the teen challenge. He called up, if I'm right, you want to use the mic or should I just do it? Okay. He was saying now that he's a pastor in Florida, and he's married to a wonderful lady who's a chiropractor, and he wanted to thank Harvest Church for helping him through difficult times when he was going down. We just gave him the word and sent him to a place where he could be helped. Now he's a preacher. Amen? He's a preacher. See, there's no cause that God can't go after with his word and resurrect it and change it. I believe with all my heart, if something's dead, God likes it better than when it's alive. Remember, I've always said about When I was in college, they say, where are you going? Where are you going to preach and all that? And I said, I'm going to the Northeast. God's called me to the Northeast. And everybody had the same comment. I wish they never said it, but I really didn't care. Do you know that's called the graveyard of preachers? Now, that's a Bible college teaching us, but that's the graveyard of preachers. So evidently, Jesus is not familiar with graveyards. Amen. Which challenged me even more. That's where I'm going. Well, you know, you want to have some long, you got to know somebody. I said, I know somebody. Amen. I've had preachers ask more than once, who's your best giving your church? I tell them, Jesus. No, I mean with money. Are you kidding me? It's not about somebody's giving power. Jesus gave every single thing, and he'll supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Who can outgive Jesus? You understand that now? So Jesus likes things that are dead so he can resurrect them. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, takes residence on the inside of me. So when we pray, say when we pray, we want to pray, say we want to pray, we want to pray the word. If we can pray the word, guess what? God is going to hear us. I wanted to say that other scripture, but time is not going to allow me. Oh, I found it. Say he found it. Isn't that wonderful? The snow can melt in the meantime. This is my kickoff, but I used it at the end tonight. James 5, 16 and 18 in a new national version says this. When a believing person prays, how many of you are believers? When a believing person prays, something happens. Can I put a word in that, in front of that? Some greater things happen. Jesus said, these things will you do that I've done, and even greater. You see, I don't want to get stuck just with a few things that he did. The word of God says that if everything could have been written about what Jesus did, I suppose the volumes would reach from here to the heaven, and there's no way we could keep track of everything. Hallelujah. Inside of you is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ waiting to explode. Say, I'll explode. Now, listen to this now. Elijah was a human being just like us. Now, I can hear people, yeah, but he was a prophet. He was a human being just like us. He was a human being just like me, just like you. Because what that becomes is an excuse not to do what God tells us to do because it's bigger than us. Goliath was bigger than David was. But David knew something about Goliath, that he was not in a covenant with his Lord and Savior. Amen? Listen to the rest now. He prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain. Say, a human being, just like me, prayed for it not to rain, and when it's supposed to rain. Now, I know some of you aren't this level yet because you didn't stop the snow from coming today. I looked up, and I saw the sun trying to come out. I said, that must be Harvest Church is praying, but not hard enough because it didn't come out and stop the snow. For 3.5 years, the rain came down from the sky, and the land produced crops again. He stopped them from raining, listen, for 3.5 years. I don't know if you remember a man by the name of Muhammad Ali. His name was Cassius Clay when he started fighting and changed his name. But he would actually call which round he would knock his opponent out in. He would call every round in which he would take his opponent down. And you know what he did? Every single round he called, no matter who the opponent was, he took them down. That's a man of confidence. That's a man of confidence. You and I have to have that kind of confidence that if God speaks to us, that you're supposed to tell the folks, it's not going to rain, there's going to be a drought here for 3.5 years, and then when that's over, I'm going to tell you when it's going to rain. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? This preacher is just a preacher. He loves the Lord, but God told me to step out and start this church with my lovely wife, and you right now are in a place that a man and a woman heard from God and stepped out against odds that are big odds. No money. Nothing to buy anything with, handful of people, and guess what? You're sitting in a place now that reaches the entire world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you are a great part of that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So when you pray, don't pray religious prayers. When you pray, say this with me, when you pray, pray the word. Well, I can't think of a scripture verse. Just say the name of Jesus. That's the most powerful word you ever have. Every promise, say this as we close, every promise in the Holy Bible is already taken care of, but God's looking for our cooperation. How can we cooperate? Say unto this mountain, When we talk on Sundays about the spirit of fear, the spirit of fear, and somebody said it to me on Sunday, a spirit of fear has tentacles. The spirit of fear that's been loosed on this planet is not like any other fear that we've ever seen before. It's permeating every part of society, and unfortunately, it's permeating the church. I'm here to tell you, stand strong, speak the word back to fear. You think David may have had a problem with a little bit of fear when he saw Goliath? He was, until he called on God, and God said, here's what you say. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? When sickness and disease tries to come, you go ahead and speak to him and say, who is this uncircumcised disease that's trying to come at me? Amen? I know my wife and I have prayed for each other for physical needs over the years, and we just kept praying and praying. And then eventually what happens is, because healing's a process, we begin to see a change. So you don't quit. You got to keep going. You got to keep moving ahead. Amen? Amen.